Welcome to Feminist Popcorn, the growing archive and celebration of the greatest films about women. I'm Samantha Rare, and I'm here with my good friend and co-host Elizabeth Frankel to give you a little taste of what's to come. Let's get poppin'. Well, hello.
Hello, Feminist Popcorn, episode one. Let's do it.
Excited.
Very excited.
Nervous.
Yay.
Who are we? I'm Samantha Rare.
I'm Elizabeth Frankel.
I'm an actor and theater maker.
I am a playwright and director, and I guess also a theater maker, yes.
We both live in New York City.
We do.
We met in college. Mm-hmm. We moved to New York around the same time. Mm-hmm. And we've had a long friendship and working relationship.
We have. We've worked together on most of our projects, actually. Most of our passion projects have in some way or another involved the other person.
Even if we're not on the creative team, somehow we have our creative fingers in each other's work no matter what.
Yeah, pretty much all the time. I trust Sam like I trust no one else in the world.
Oh.
Yeah.
So what's funny is I don't think you would describe yourself as a movie fanatic. You're definitely a theater person. Mm. And yet you've seen more movies than probably anyone I know.
Sure.
And I think that is a real testament to how you grew up.
Yeah. Kate and Richard, my parents, they get a shout out. Yeah, we watched a lot of great movies as a kid because I think they wanted us to build empathy. And I think that they knew that that was a really great way to have a bigger understanding of the world and of people that you might not run into in real life. And the reason I think movies mean so much to me is because it's the populist art form. It's so accessible and so available to anyone. These days, anyone with an internet connection. And that's really, really exciting to me. Whereas in theater, and you and I have talked about this a lot, that theater is very limiting in who can see it and who can afford it. And I think that's a shame. And that's something that I think movies are really exciting. So Sam, what do movies mean to you? How did you grow up with movies?
Well, I was definitely a Disney kid. Growing up, that was pretty much what I knew about movies. They were Disney movies or they were classic musicals mm-hmm. that I watched with my mom. Later in high school, my mom and I would watch a lot of rom-coms and period pieces together. But I think for most of my life, I definitely stuck to what I thought of as girl movies.
Totally. Chick flicks.
Chick flicks, sure. Yeah. I have a brother, and he always watched boy movies, mm-hmm. or what I thought of as boy movies. So he watched Star Wars, Jurassic Park, Back to the Future when we were children. And I would always kind of sneak around if he was watching a movie with his friends, and I would be like playing with my dolls in the background and trying to watch those movies at the same time, thinking that for some reason I was not invited to that party, when of course I was. It was only when I think decided to become an actor that I really became a movie fan, or decided to become a movie fan to educate myself.
Oh, that's interesting.
So at that point, I made a conscious effort to research films and to read film criticism. So that was a lot of my free time in college, was just watching movies.
I have such amazing memories of going into your apartment and seeing it littered with Netflix discs back when Netflix made DVDs.
Yeah.
I remember just coming in and always seeing just like little red envelopes all around your apartment.
I would get a movie in the mail, I would watch it that day, and I'd send it back.
Amazing.
I had the two disc arrangement, and you had one for now and then the other one to watch while your other one is in the mail, so that you never had a waiting period in between, because I didn't want to miss a day.
Sure.
Because there were so many movies to watch and so little time.
Oh. So Sam, you know, we're doing this together, but Feminist Popcorn was really your idea, and it was your passion project of having a podcast that we're talking about movies through a feminist perspective. So what brought you to do this?
So I went on the same journey that I think a lot of people go on when they decide to cultivate their love of movies. I poured through lists and archives, and I studied collections of films by film critics. And what I discovered was that the world of film appreciation is highly male-centric. Mm. We have a century of movies behind us that were written, produced, and directed by men. And therefore, most of the time, they follow a male narrative. Mm-hmm. Not only that, but I don't know if you've encountered this, but in my experience, the film geek world tends to be pretty masculine.
Yeah.
I think it was often hard for me as a film geek to find people who I could talk to about movies. Mm. I think there's an assumption that women can't be geeks in the same way that men can be geeks.
Do you feel like you've been shut out from conversations about movies when you've been talking with boys?
Definitely.
Yeah, I have too. I can think of specific instances where they just like simply weren't interested in what I had to say, even though I probably knew the film better than they did.
I think we can probably analyze why that happens. Maybe not now.
I don't know if this is the podcast for that, but yeah, for sure.
But I think the reason why communities of women around movies aren't so available is because the movies aren't so available.
Absolutely. 1,000%.
And it's only in the past couple of years, and especially now with Time's Up, that we're definitely seeing a concerted effort to produce films about women and by women. However, that doesn't mean that great movies about women don't already exist and have been made. You just need to know where to look for them.
Absolutely. They may not have been the, like, you know, large Oscar contenders of that year. It might have been a sleeper hit at an indie festival that no one really talked about.
So that's what Feminist Popcorn is all about.
Great. What is Feminist Popcorn about, Sam?
Feminist Popcorn is a celebration and growing archive of the greatest movies about women. So this is a list that we have been carefully curating for months in order to bring you the widest variety in genre, tone, theme of movies that follow the female narrative. So that includes everything from cult classics to foreign language films to indies to movies that you might even call a chick flick that maybe you haven't allowed yourself to consider before as high art.
Totally. I think that's a really important point, that there are certain movies that might, for all intents and purposes, be an incredible movie, but because they were aimed towards the female demographic or because they featured women, they were immediately sort of reduced in their marketing in terms of quality, in terms of what it's saying. And I think there's a lot of movies that really didn't get the due that they deserved. So that will also be a part of this, is bringing back films from sort of classic films from older years that deserve a second look, as well as championing films from today.
If you look at any big published list of the greatest movies of all time, somewhere at the top are going to be The Godfather, Citizen Kane, Goodfellas. These are all movies about highly flawed men. Mm. And I think the reason that we're drawn to these kinds of stories is because they illuminate something real and raw about humanity. Mm-hmm. And these are the kind of stories that I like to see about women.
Totally. I mean, I think you and I have talked about that we're both allergic to the phrase a strong female character.
Definitely.
Because that's crazy. Like, I want to see a woman as complex and as struggling and as contradictory as any great male role.
Yeah, I think a lot of the conversation around feminist film ends up being about movies that inspire us.
Totally. It's sort of as if the only male characters that men could look up to that were out there for them are characters like Atticus Finch. And Atticus Finch is an amazing character, and I'm so glad he exists in our canon of literature and film, but imagine if he was the only character that you really had.
Wow.
And you didn't have people like, you know, the Corleone family, or you didn't have these people who are very, very different from Atticus Finch. That would get very boring and stale after a while. And I feel like a lot of the women we have are sort of like that. They're sort of two-dimensional, and they have a lot of integrity, and they work really, really hard, and then the movie's over. And granted, good women, like women that I admire in my real life, have all of that, but we also have so much more. And those are the movies I'm interested in seeing.
I think that the only thing that I really look for in a good movie about a woman is, does she go on an interesting journey?
Is she, like, fundamentally different at the end
than
she is at the beginning? And that's so basic. So that's where we're starting from. So that's what we're excited about. Doing this podcast, we're going to collect all these films that do that.
So when we are looking for movies to discuss in this podcast, we have two basic criteria that we're looking for. Number one, they must be told from a woman character's point of view rather than follow a woman through the lens of a man's experience of her.
Totally. I think this is really important because there are so many movies that are sort of hailed as these great films about women. But ultimately, the screenwriter sort of gets away with leaving some holes in the woman's character because it's through a man's perspective of her.
I think it also allows opportunity for the male gaze.
Absolutely.
A little bit. You can showcase her physical appearance. You can have long pans over her body.
Think about how beautiful she is.
Right. The second criteria is that they must feature a woman protagonist as well as at least one other woman in a leading or supporting role.
Amazing.
This is so basic. It really just means the lead character is a woman and there is another woman in the movie.
So sadly basic.
Like how many movies can we think of just off the top of our heads that have literally only one woman?
Yeah, the token woman. Yeah.
And she ends up being sort of a representative.
Love interest to someone.
Well, or she's a representative of all women everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've brought this into my head, and so now I've been thinking about this a lot too, of how many women we interact with on a daily basis.
Yes.
Which is like most of my life. You know, I'm in graduate school. Most of my classmates are women. You're a woman. My mom is a woman. Like the people who I really do talk to on a daily basis are all women, except for my partner, who's a guy. But other than that, my life is pretty much made up of women.
50% of the planet is women.
50% of the planet is women! Where are the women?
So then beyond our two basic criteria, we have a list of guidelines that help us pick and choose which movies we want to discuss on this podcast.
Bravo.
One is, does it pass the Bechdel test?
Sam, what's the Bechdel test?
So the Bechdel test is named after author and illustrator Alison Bechdel. And the test is basically, are two women characters on the screen at the same time having a conversation in which any subject other than men is discussed?
Amazing.
Some other things that we look for in movies. Mm-hmm. Was it written by a woman? Was it directed by a woman?
Yeah.
I don't think it's any coincidence that movies made by women, about women, tell the female narrative in a more truthful way than movies made by men.
Totally. I was talking to a dramaturg friend recently, and he had a really interesting observation that when people say, like, oh, you know, you can't write across gender lines, or you can't write across race lines, that's not true, but at the end of the day, you just simply won't do it in as interesting a way as the people who have really lived that experience. It's not that white people can't write about people of color or men can't write about women. It's just that you're not going to be able to get as many nuances, as many little corners and nuggets of emotional truth as the people who have really lived that experience.
Yeah.
And that was really interesting to me. I've been thinking a lot about that recently, that it's not like you're not allowed to. It just won't be as good. And I just thought that was interesting. And it made me think of the fact that when I'm watching a play or a movie, I've now gotten to the point where I can sort of tell within 5 minutes of listening to the dialogue if it was written by a man or a woman, based on the way that the woman is talking.
Not only that, I think that when you look at the movies that have been made by women as opposed to by men, mm-hmm. women are far more likely to create movies about women
yeah.
than men are. And that's why in the long history of movie making that has been largely run by men, mm-hmm. most movies made, period, are about men.
Absolutely. And I really don't even think that that's anyone's fault, because sort of the number one rule of writing is to write what you know, or to write what you're interested in, or to write what you want to learn. And for so long, the female experience just wasn't something that anyone prioritized. It wasn't something that artists prioritized or the government prioritizes. And because of that, of course, our canon of art, our canon of movies, is going to be limited in that way.
You brought up something really funny to me recently, which is that meme that goes around Facebook.
Oh, yeah. It was something like some troll wrote, of course there were no women in that historical movie. You know, women weren't there, or women weren't in that room. And someone underneath wrote, yeah, because women weren't invented until 1990. Which is a really interesting conversation, I think. You know, if you're going to make a historical film about the Declaration of Independence, yes, there were no women in that room. That's indisputable. But to say that stories about women at that time were not worthy of being told
right.
is crazy.
Did you know that of all the best Oscar winners since the beginning of the Oscars, about 15 of those movies are movies about women?
That's horrible.
And then of those 15, zero are about women of color.
Mm.
So that's just a nice little statistic.
Great.
To illustrate the reason
why
we do this.
This is needed, yeah.
The last thing that we look for in a movie is the kind of more subjective, nuanced question that's hard to measure.
Yeah.
Is the movie good? You know, we're not only feminists, we're also movie geeks.
Yeah.
So there are a number of things that I look for when I'm looking for a good movie. Is the dialogue truthful sounding? Are the performances truthful? Mm-hmm. Does it make a bold aesthetic choice? Is it emotionally engaging? Is it thought-provoking? And then, is it entertaining?
Yeah.
At the end of the movie, if it has done all of these things and yet you've been bored, I don't think it's done its job.
Totally. I mean, I'm such a sap that I always need to have sort of a cathartic, an emotionally sort of violent experience watching a movie. And so if I left the theater feeling the same way about the world as I did before I watched the movie, then yeah, then I don't really consider it a very good movie. And related to that, we're never gonna watch a movie that is, yes, you know, quote-unquote feminist, but doesn't do these things. We want to celebrate good movies.
I always feel let down by conversations around quote-unquote feminist movies that I feel like aren't good.
Yeah.
I feel like we deserve better than that.
I agree. We deserve amazing movies that are about women in the same sentence at the same time.
Wonderful.
That's what we're at. That's what we're about. Why don't we talk a little bit about how each episode is formatted, what the structure of the podcast is.
Great. So, every 2 weeks, we discuss three films that share a specific narrative theme, and then that theme will frame the conversation for the episode. At the end of each episode, we'll announce the three films covered in the next episode and where you can legally stream them so that our listeners have an opportunity to go on this journey with us. Of course, we welcome you to listen to our podcast if you haven't seen the movies, but the reason that we announce them ahead of time is because this podcast will be heavy with spoilers. So we do encourage you to watch the movies ahead of time and to form your own opinions about them and bring them to the table.
We also want to say that we're not setting out to do a podcast that reviews movies. This isn't a movie review podcast. This podcast is first and foremost a celebration. We're much more interested in what makes a movie good rather than what makes a movie bad. This is about the fact that Sam and I love movies, and we want to form a community and a conversation about movies that we really champion. So that's really what we're about right now. And because of that, we want Feminist Popcorn to be a conversation rather than a lecture. So we're inviting listeners to send in responses that we're going to share during the following episodes. So to do that, you can make a voice recording on your smartphone and then send it in to feministpopcorn@gmail.com with your name, where you're from, and then please list in the email subject line the name of the episode that you're responding to. And then we'll share that in the following episode.
I also want to say that people have all kinds of ways to watch movies these days, but we will be only discussing movies that are available to stream legally.
Yes.
And providing those links for you. That can either be through a subscription streaming service like Netflix or Hulu or Amazon Prime, or sometimes it will be by renting the movie from YouTube or Amazon, etc., for anything from $2.99 to $5.99.
Yeah, like Sam said, there are a lot of ways to get movies these days, and you might be wondering why we're sort of encouraging people to stream them legally and not obtain them however you can, no questions asked, because this is a celebration. That's what we keep saying, that we're championing these movies, and we feel like a part of that is compensating the artists who worked really hard to give us these incredible stories, and if we're gonna celebrate them, we should pay them.
Yeah. So with that, our upcoming first episode of the series,
yay,
will follow the theme of coming of age. The first movie we'll be discussing is 13, directed by Katherine Hardwick, in which a troubled middle schooler's life changes when she befriends the coolest girl in school. The next movie we'll be discussing is Persepolis, directed by Marjan Satrapi and Vincent Paranaud, in which a woman reflects on her childhood in Tehran and Vienna against the backdrop of the Iranian Revolution. And the third movie we'll be discussing is Lady Bird, directed by Greta Gerwig, in which a high school senior, desperate to leave her hometown, struggles to find common ground with her mother. For those who need it, we are giving a trigger warning for 13 for scenes of self-harm. 13 and Persepolis are both available for $2.99 from YouTube, Vudu, and Google Play, and Lady Bird is available for $4.99 from YouTube and Google Play. And you can find all of those links and more on our website, feministpopcorn.com. Thank you so much for listening to our first episode.
We're so excited that you're here and that we're here doing this together.
We'd love for this community to grow, and we need your help to do that. So if you liked what you heard, please feel free to review us on iTunes and to tell your friends. You can also follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, @FeministPopcorn. And please subscribe to this podcast so that you can instantly download new episodes.
I love movies. I love feminism. I love Sam. Everything is great. feminist popcorn, go us.
Yay.
Yay.
Feminist Popcorn is produced and hosted by Samantha Rare and co-hosted by Elizabeth Frankel. Our theme music is by Barrett Riggins. Our cover art is by Hannah Perry. New episodes are available every 2 weeks. Until then, enjoy the show.